song to sing. Sing it together. Let's turn our eyes towards Him tonight. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this that's what we're here for tonight. Turn our eyes to Him for strength, for help. We're going to turn to Him now. We've got several prayer requests. Terry, if you don't mind to come and pray over these requests, but we'll start with the testimony. We'll just thank Him for what He has done before we ask Him for anything here. Brother Junior Davis says he just wanted to give the church an update. In about 3 weeks, they are going to do a PET scan, which is a more detailed scan than the CAT scan. I believe it will be totally clear of any growths. I've been doing wonderful when I took my last chemo treatment. I did not get sick at all. My Lord Jesus is so wonderful to me. We appreciate that, Brother. Amen. We're very thankful for that. That chemotherapy can make people so sick and miserable. We appreciate the Lord taking care of our dear friend. He said, on my last visit to the oncologist, he told me that as a doctor, with his knowledge, he can only do so much, and he would appreciate our prayers that God would help him as he treats his patients. So let's continue to remember Brother Junior and also that physician and that group as they care for those sick folks. Also, Brother Greg Robbins is having problems with his blood sugar levels. Ask for prayer. Me and my family truly thank everyone for their prayers. However, the father went home on February the 5th, and just ask you to continue to pray for their family. That's from the Hamilton family. Also, a request for Sister Connie Cook, sick tonight. She's got a cold, needs prayer. This is for Sister Shama to have a good trip to Trinidad, but Keith and Daniel turned that in. Please pray for Sister Charlotte Wamsley that God will touch her so she can come to church. She can't set up very long. That's from Brother Lee Wamsley turns that in. Sister Deanna Glenn would also like to thank the church family for all your prayers and support for my father and for me while I was in Ohio caring for him. It really made a difference. We came close to losing Dad to congestive heart failure, but the Lord showed the doctors what was wrong. They took over 7 pounds of fluid off of him, and he's breathing easy and stable now. And she appreciates your prayers that sustained her while she was under all that pressure. So we just appreciate what the Lord does for us. If we could stand tonight and Brother Terry could come take these knees to the Lord.
The privilege to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. A real, real privilege. We won't always have this opportunity. But we certainly want to capitalize on it every service that we come into. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Father, our hearts rejoice that we have this another opportunity to be in the house of God. We realize that this country is fast losing its freedom. We realize the administration, we realize this has been going for many, many years, but we know truly we are, our rights have been taken away from us. We see that the enemy is trying to do everything he can, and we know that there will be a one world government will come in, and how quick and swiftly this could happen, for suddenly these things happen. As we said, over 600 prophecies would fill the last 48 hours of Jesus' life, and we know that these things can just happen so critical. So we want to take advantage of every service that we have. We're not even promised that we'll be here in the morning. We're not promised we'll be here next Wednesday night. So, Lord, this could be the last service, so we certainly want to invite your presence. We ask, Lord, that we can divorce all thoughts of what we may do tomorrow, what things we have scheduled for Monday, even what we did yesterday. For those things mean nothing really to a believer, because our hope is in the Lord. Our love and our desire is to make heaven our home. God, we come to the house of God to learn more of your word tonight, to worship you, to see what you'd have us to do. Lord, to give us spiritual food in due season. Update us, Lord, tonight. Give us the anointing for the hour. What spiritual food is needed to sustain our lives, Lord, and be able to fight the enemy. The enemy always updates his tactics. And Lord, we know the word always comes in and raises up a standard against him. So we pray that you would help us. We pray, Lord, you anoint the speaker tonight. Lord, may it just be another glorious time of fellowship around the word. We thank you for the testimony, Brother Junior, but we ask, dear Lord, you continue to be with the hand of the doctor, the physicians. And Lord, most of all, the hand of Almighty God. You receive those stripes that Brother Junior Davis can be altogether made well. We claim it, we apply it, we believe it. Lord, sometimes it's instantaneous, sometimes it's miracles, sometimes it's a slow process, but all healing comes from you, and we're thankful for that. Greg Robbins and the different ones that's been mentioned, we ask that you would undertake on behalf of each one, and we all have needs here, every individual. If we was to write them down on a list, we certainly would have pages, I'm sure, of needs and problems and situations, unsaved loved ones, ailments and illnesses and whatever more, but Lord, I know that you're really concerned about one thing. You're concerned about everything that touches our life, but you're concerned about our origin and you're concerned about our destiny. And we're trying to make preparation, Lord, for those final moments. Be with us tonight. Speak to our hearts. May the fellowship around the word be just a glorious time. Lord, in each one of these requests that's been read, I pray that you heal each one, meet their need, encourage their hearts. And I pray that through, Lord, the faith of someone that has faith, and many will have faith, that somebody will touch your hand and see these and receive testimonies tonight of how you healed and touched each one. Grant these things to the Lord tonight. We're thankful, Lord, to be here one more time. Speak to our hearts, Lord, through your word, and we ask that you anoint the worship, the songs, the exhortation, and all that's done in sin. And truly, when we leave this building, we say it's been good to be in the house of God. Thank you so much, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can be seated tonight. I was alone in the darkness, could not find my way. Jesus shined a light on me, he turned on my night today. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Sing that second verse.
When I reach that city, oh, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me from the other side. Oh, when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption story, how he brought me from the other side. Oh, saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed. I could not find my way, but Jesus shined a light on me, and He turned on my night today. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
Second verse again.
When I reach that city, oh, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story, how He brought me from the other side. When I reach my city and the gates swing open wide, I get to see redemption story. Oh, how He brought me from the other side. Oh,
saved by grace.
I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away.
Saved by grace.
I've been saved. Not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. Not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
Amen. The brothers would like to come tonight. They'd like to come and take up the offering this evening. We're going to sing. Let's sing that I Want to Know How It Feels. It's in G. You sing that first verse. Of course. Okay.
Well, I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. Heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels.
Let's sing that chorus again.
I want to know how it feels. Saints of old. my mama and daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knee. They said that nothing compares to what's waiting up there, how one day I would finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I keep believing it's a place like I've never known. That's why I keep my eye, my soul won't skip a line. Lord, my heart is ready to go. Try to lighten my load when all I gotta show is 700 things on my mind. Oh, but I keep seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see that look of love on my Jesus' face. I want to know how it feels. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of.
Try that. I'm going home with Jesus. I'm going home with Jesus. Effigy. Brother Harvey Lunsford and his wife, I think, have a song for us tonight. So if they wouldn't mind, if they'd come on, be getting ready to sing. We'll just sing one more song together here while they're coming and getting ready to sing. I'm going home with Jesus. Do you have that up there? It's not that one. I've made my preparations for a mansion in the sky. You know, it's not hard to get homesick for home when you know, one great thing about heaven is there'll be no Johnson City Press. No MSN, CNN. I'm telling you read the paper. Me and my wife was talking the other day. I thought, Lord God, I'm so thankful this world is not my home. These animals that treat children the way they do, that we have to share this earth with, that's not what we were predestinated for, created for. It's just a thing of time that will be gone one day. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to going home with Jesus. And we hope this is the right key. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His church away. I'm
In the twinkling of an eye, I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most any time, and a crown of life that's waiting, thank God, will soon be mine. I've got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, the trip's been paid for me. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away.
The captain of the vessel, he's calling, get on board. And the destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore, where we'll meet again the Savior and our loved ones who've gone on there to live for all eternity. Oh yes, we're going home.
I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away.
We're living in perilous times. Each day brings new distress. But God has told us in his word to pray and do our best to keep our lamps all trimmed and bright, our wedding garments on. And something's moving in my soul. Says, child, you'll soon be gone. I soon will be gone from this soul. Shining throne, eternal joy to know. So without fear, I'll wait to hear the angels' trumpet song. And on that day, I'll soar away. Oh, yes, I'll soon be gone. Well, soon the crumbling works of man must all be counted lost, and those who build upon the sand must pay the awful cost. So why not kneel and pray today? The Spirit leads you on. Then with the same you too can say, thank God I'll soon be gone. I'll soon be gone from this earthly world to heaven shine. And on that day I'll soar away. Oh yes, I'll soon be gone. I'll soon be gone from this old world below to heaven shining eternal joy to know. So without fear I'll wait to hear the angels' trumpet song. And on
Oh yes, I'll soon be gone.
I'm amazed. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word to us tonight. Let's just sing I'm Amazed together as he comes.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away.
Let's sing that again.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you can. Through your precious blood I found pardon. My sins have washed, they're all washed away.
Let's sing it one more time together.
Oh, I'm amazed how much you love us, oh Lord. I'm amazed how much you care. I found pardon. My sins are washed. All washed away. My sins are washed away.
Praise the Lord. How many's glad your sins are washed away? Praise be to God. Let's turn tonight to the book of Daniel, if you would. Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. I want to speak to you tonight on the kingdom of darkness. Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. Which I figure he'd have to say to me and you over and over again. Calm down, calm down. Now listen to these words. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. Okay, so this is day 21. But he was heard on day one. So what's the problem? Now it's important for this angel to convey to Daniel, there's no issue between him and God. The delay of your prayers has not been because of you. But I was fighting. I was busy. Now notice this. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. The very reason I'm here is because of you. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. angels need help. Let me go a step farther and tell you, devils need help. That's what I don't understand about some of the nuts around this message that don't think they do. Angels need help and devils get in trouble. They call for help, and people in this message, many of them, don't think they need help. You're dumber than a devil. That's pretty dumb, ain't it? Now listen to the setting of this. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Okay, so there's a prince of Persia which withstood him. Then he received help from a heavenly hierarchy. And then he stayed against the kings of Persia. Verse 19. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what the word of God ought to do to us. Man. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Daniel said, I got strong. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now remember, the Medes and the Persians are now in control of the world, the known world. But their time is fixing to run out. The visitation on the earth is come for prophecy. It's come as a changing of a dispensation. A new ruler, a new king, a new power is fixing to come in. And there must be a demonic hierarchy that will be changed to usher in this kingdom. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you, Father, for your word. I pray tonight, Lord God, you would help us and speak to our hearts. We realize, Lord, this battle that we're engaged in every day of our life, it's greater than we are. It's too big for us as mortals to even try to comprehend it, Lord. But by your grace and your mercy and your strength, we know that we are more than conquerors. Enlighten us tonight, I pray, Father, to the world that is around us. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now, because we've got a big kingdom we'd like to look at tonight, I need a pretty big foundation. I know of no greater source to go to than to the scriptures and to the messenger of the hour. Since he was allowed to be able to enter into this realm like no other man that ever lived on the earth outside of the Lord Jesus. A great part of his life was dealing with demons and spirits and warring against them. So to me, he had an insight that would be able to enlighten us to help us to see what is around us. Thank God I don't have to deal with it in the realm that he did. Thank God you don't. But yet God gave us a gift by which would peer into the window of the supernatural to be able to see with dimensional vision, actually to hear and see things that went on in the other dimensions. Let me read a few things to you before we start speaking. Look, if Cain was the son of Adam, which was a son of God, Where did that evil come from? The first thing when he was born, he hated. He was a murderer. He was jealous. And now he took the nature of his daddy, the very start in the beginning, Lucifer. In the beginning, he was jealous of Michael, what started the whole trouble. Now remember, Lucifer was jealous of Michael. There were other angels, chief princes, angels of the hierarchy of God called archangels. But there must have been a dominion or a kingdom that had been allocated to Michael. And Lucifer got jealous of Michael. Now, as we looked at last weekend, that there must be proper motives for war. Now we're going to hear what the motive of Lucifer was to start this war in heaven in the beginning. And it came from his pride and then from jealousy. And the jealousy was not in the sense of from God alone. Now, when we think of God, the mighty Elohim, the self-existing one, the one that was around the throne, but his jealousy was not just toward God, but it was something that God had allocated into the dominion of a lesser one, which was Michael. Now, watch this. In the beginning, he was jealous of Michael, what started the whole trouble. How many knows that? And Cain was the nature of his father, which he was jealous of his brother and slew him. That nature could not have come out of that pure seed. It had to come from this perverted stream. Now again, he's speaking of Cain. He said, we find he was the first murderer. He was the first one to have jealousy. And Lucifer got jealous of Michael, brought it right down to the earth, transferred it into man, and Satan came by taking on this evil, took this first mark, and God marked him. So then Lucifer was jealous of Michael. Now, not just God, the extremity of the Godhead, but an attribute by which God had expressed and given to Michael something that Lucifer got jealous of. Now, he said, did you know that the devil lives in class? Do you know what caused the first battle in heaven? When Lucifer set up a greater class of people, got a better class of angels, he thought, a bigger kingdom, a more brighter, shinier kingdom than Michael had. Now, what's the motive as it unfolds? Now, Lucifer has something, an agenda, and he must be against something in order to declare a war. So it's not just the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the great attribute of the light of God that's sitting on the throne of God, but it was an expression of that which was in Michael, which was Christ. Now, Michael was not Jesus. Michael was Christ. Now, what's this? He has this idea in his mind that he'll get a better class of angels. And he was kicked out of heaven, he says. See where class comes from? Stay away from class. The hungry don't want class. The hungry wants food. Praise the Lord. The hungry wants food. Now, this great first battle, he said, that ever fought in heaven, when Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels. Now, notice where the battle is. Now, it is not God in the sense of the fullness of the Godhead. It is not the great attribute that is on the throne of God that is actually doing this fighting. But Lucifer is fighting Michael. And Michael is fighting back. Now, Satan pulls away a number of these angels and they join into his dominion and they become classified as his angels. And these other angels which remain in the presence of God are actually identified as Michael's angels. Now, he said the first battle was in heaven, so sin did not originate in earth. It originated in heaven, and then it was thrown down from heaven and cast out of heaven to the earth and fell on human beings. Then the battle from angels battles. Now notice what it becomes. It becomes from angels. It become human battles. And Satan come to destroy God's creation. What God created to be for himself. He, Satan, come to destroy this. That was his purpose, was to destroy it. Then the battle began here on earth and began, notice now, began in us. Notice what he wants to do. He wants to bring it from angelic battles, whatever angels would fight with. Then it was cast down on the earth. Being on the earth was not enough. His motive to be accomplished in this was that the battle would actually wind up in human beings. Now those of us that are sitting here tonight that are full of the Holy Ghost, redeemed by the power of God, this warfare is still going on in us. Where at? In our flesh. That's right. This is why we battle every day of our life. You see, if our flesh would have got saved, got the Holy Ghost, no matter what anybody ever said to you, it'd never even slow you down. You'd never pay a bit more attention to it than nothing. Temptation would never bother you. Heartaches would never bother you. But because you are a new creation in the same old temple, the battle is still raging. Amen. Now notice then he says, it began in us and it's been raging ever since. So the battle is still going on tonight. Again he says, the first battle that was ever fought was not fought on the earth, it was fought in heaven. Michael and his angels against Lucifer. And they were kicked out of heaven and then the great army of the devil and all of his imps fell upon the earth, and God knew there was going to be a battle. Oh my. I'll tell you one thing, you think about as a human being. How in the world could we ever face demons? How could we ever face angels that at one time stood in the presence of God and fell, and now they are identified as imps? With the power of the Holy Ghost, you're more than a match for them. Notice this now. This is quite amazing for a prophet to say it this way. The devil is a great force. The devil has a great power. And the devil is great in his power. The devil has a great power. And the devil is great in his power. Well, let me just turn that right around and tell you. You have a power as sons and daughters of God. And you also are great in your power. But he's under the power of God. Now, I love this right here. Listen. And the devil can only be at one place at one time. This is why I told you last weekend, probably most of us have never fought the devil himself. He's probably been more concerned about other matters. But what we have dealt with are his imps. He is not omnipresent. He is not omniscient. He cannot be at all places at all times. But whenever these angels fell, they were segregated into different domains. Some into politics, some into religion, some into diseases, some in sickness to the realm of the fourth dimension. And Satan spreads them all over the world through the dimension of the fourth dimension. They're able to travel. This is where the prophet saw his vision. They don't take an airplane ticket. They don't take a bus. They don't take a taxi cab from one realm to another. But in the fourth dimension, they're able to travel. How was Satan able to show Jesus the kingdoms of the world upon the mountain in a moment of time? He carried him forth into the future. He showed him every kingdom that would ever be in one moment of time, the Bible says. How could he do it? In what realm? The fourth dimension. Demons travel in the fourth dimension. The prophet saw his visions in the fourth dimension. He'd see a little girl coming home from school in a yellow checkered dress. And she fell in on the porch being chased by a dog. And that woman was standing there as a 40-some-year-old woman, whatever she was. Why? In the dimension of the fourth dimension. He could go back in time when you were a child. He could go ahead in the future, 80 years ahead, and stand right here and see you as you are now. Past, present, and future. Thank you, Lord. Now what's in this kingdom of darkness that Satan is the king over, which he has his reign and his dominion. This kingdom is made up of principalities. It is made up of powers. It is made up of rulers. It is made up of wicked spirits or wicked angels. Now listen to me again. in this kingdom or this domain that Satan is the king over. Now, I'm not talking about the earth, and I'm not talking about Russia and the United States. I'm talking about in the dimensional realm from where it first began. In that realm, there is what you and I are fighting. This is why the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Now watch this, that Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." Now what's he going to lead up to? That none of these things can separate us from the love of God. And the church said,
amen.
Why would he include angels in that? So you mean angels will actually try to separate us from the love of God? Now watch his terms. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels," not elect angels, not godly angels, but wicked angels, "nor angels, nor principalities." Now look at this word, principalities, which is arche. It is the beginning or the corner or the first origin. The person or thing that commences. The first person or thing in a series. Now watch, so here we get an insight into what the kingdom of darkness consists of. So it is breaks down in the power that these angels were created by God in the beginning. And when they failed, they did not lose their principality. So if there was a demon created in orders in the beginning, of course created an angel, and it was created there, when it fell from the presence of God, it maintained its hierarchy. Even if they were wicked, they still maintain their position. Well, praise the Lord. Now watch this. Brother Bam says, "In heaven we look at the celestial bodies, and the Bible says one star differs from the other. There is Sirius, there's the different ones, Mars and Jupiter, all those different ones, and they differ one from the other. The sun differs from the moon, and the moon from the stars. And there is angels, such as there is seraphims and cherubims and angels and great angels in degrees." Now watch, it seems as if though that many, maybe millions of these angels were actually created and God knew exactly what they would do, of course, but they were put on the basis by which they could make their choice. But we also know the Bible says there are elect angels. And some of them, it would seem, were created and put on a basis that they would be able to tell God what they would do. Same way with human beings. And we know that they're the elect of God, that Jesus came to save. His name is on the Lamb's Book of Life. And we know there is another category called the whosoever will. Now, God will allow them to come in if they will accept the way of atonement, but he did not give them eternal life in the same way that the bride has it. So you look at it and you realize that there are elect angels which will never fall. They will never go away from the providence of God. And there were angels that had the ability to choose. They had the ability to hear Satan's lies and agree with those lies and leave the message. This is their probation period. Do you understand? Billions of people that have lived on this earth have been given the exact same opportunity. Probation in time to see what they will do. It's sad, isn't it? It's sad to see what many do. Now watch, and the prophet said there are degrees. Even in the new world to come, there'll be the kings of the earth that'll bring their honor into the city. We're always going to be that way because God is not a Sears and Roebuck Harmony House. He is a God of variety. For those of you that do not like hierarchy, you think it's going to be done away with heaven. Oh, no, it's not. It will always be because that's the way God is. God is a God of order. God creates in degrees. There will always be greatness, and then there'll be some that have lived their life, done everything they know to do. There will be kings. Kings in the new earth, there will be magistrates, there will be princes, there will be all kinds of things that God does it. Why? He chooses to do it this way. Now once again, listen to what Paul said in Romans, again, Romans 8:38. "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities," arche, the first one in the series, "nor powers," dunamis, strength, power, ability, inherit power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Now notice, so here these fallen angels also have the same Greek word, dunamis, that Jesus says in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive dunamis after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Which is the same root Greek word that we get for our English word dynamite. You have dunamis by the inherent nature of the new birth, of the new creation. They have dunamis because of the inherent nature that God created in them as angels. And when they failed, they did not lose that dunamis. They brought it right down into the kingdom of darkness with them. This would scare you, wouldn't it? If it wasn't for the word telling you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What's this dunamis? By virtue of its nature, power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. Now look then, in this dominion or kingdom of Satan, there's principalities. Those who started first in the series. And then there's these others by inherent nature, which is called the dunamis or the powers. Nor things present, nor things to come. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Can you imagine God wanting to prove to these principalities and powers? And God will challenge them by the church. It ain't going to be Gabriel. It's not going to be Wormwood. It ain't going to be Michael that God's going to prove his power by. Hallelujah. We are his victory. Can you imagine Almighty God, amen, proving the ultimate victory by his church? That's how much confidence he has in his word. It ain't your flesh. It ain't my flesh. He ain't got no confidence in that. He has confidence in what his word says about us. Can't we? Thank the Lord. Notice again in Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Now look at this. It's the same English word, but it's not the same Greek word that Paul uses. It's exousia. So in Romans, Paul uses it as an inherent nature that these beings have. But here in Ephesians, he said we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, which is the same word, okay, and against powers, which is authority, jurisdiction, the power of rule or government. The power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to and obeyed. This is why these demons, when they meet you and I, they know where they stand. They know they have been given exousia. They know they have dunamis by inherent nature of creation. I have power over you. That's what they want you to believe. Now when Daniel is praying and waiting on God and waiting on God and wondering, God, what have I done? Lord, have I disobeyed you somehow? All the time going on in another dimension that Daniel's eyes was not able at that time to see, a war was going on. Why? Because the prince of Persia had more power than Gabriel did. For this angel Gabriel, which was dispatched down to the city, could not break through. Why, this demon stood there and said, I am Arche. I'll have dunamis. I'll have exousia. He could have told him, you fail. You're a liar. You ain't serving God. You ain't no good. None of that moved him. He knew his dunamis. He knew his exousia. You left God. You left the word. Don't you see, friends, when people get under these demons, why, you can't talk to them? Don't you see why they won't back down? Oh, if we as the children of God could be as firm in our dunamis, as firm in our exousia, Brother Amos.
And when the devil comes against us, I'm not moving devil. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. This is my inheritance. So here comes this mighty angel of God with his sword drawn that stayed true to the word. And here was this other former angel of God that said, you're not getting through. But I've been sent from the presence of God. I don't care where you've been sent from. This is my domain. I'm the prince over this country. You get out of here. But I live right. I pray. I read my Bible. I don't care what you do. I have inherent nature. I have dominion. I have authority. Don't you say, well, I believe the message. I play tapes. That friend, that don't back the devil up a bit more than nothing. He don't care how much you can quote. He don't care how much you go to. I pay my tithe. I even pay 15%. He don't care if you pay 35%. If you don't know your position and you're a weakling and powerless, that ain't what backs the devil. Oh, I've got long hair. I ain't cut my hair since I come to the message. I don't have a television. That's not it. It's you standing in your dunamis. You standing in your exousia and say, I will not move Satan. You're a liar. Out of my way. Out of my face. I'm going all. Hallelujah. I will take my inheritance. Do you parents honestly, do you honestly understand what you're facing in this hour trying to raise your children? Do you think you're facing Junior? Do you think you're facing your little girls? You're facing children that are under the influence of these spirits. It's going to take spiritual moms and dads, not just moms and dads with a belt or a whip or a fist. It's going to take spiritual moms and dads to know how to guide the people. It's going to take spiritual men of God to know how to lead the people through these things in this day. Oh my. You imagine these angels that have stood in the presence of God. And yet when they fall, God does not strip them of their dunamis. He does not strip them of their exousia. But they still maintain the thinking in their being, I was above Gabriel. I was above Wormwood. I'd done this. I was allowed to do that. Now even though they're on the side of the wrong, but now they take that same charisma. They take that same influence. Oh, y'all quiet on me, but it's the truth anyway. Now, what's the word principality here refers to rulers or chieftains? Chiefs of the tribes. Now, watch. Paul goes on to say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Look at this word, ruler. Lord of the world. Prince of this age. You imagine Luther's people try to put them in Laodicea for a week? Can you imagine if you'd be reverted back to live in Luther's time for a week? You'd feel like it was sunny Florida on a total vacation. Man, this is easy. This is no problem. You're living in the most wicked, sinful, dark age. The lid has been tore off the kettle. And demons are streaming in every direction. Put us back in 1909 and put us back in the 30s. My, it would seem like an easy day. The days of the flapper, huh, they just thought they had flappers. We got message flappers. That's all they do. Flap about this and flap about that. My God, brother, I believe God has anointed a people though in this day, though the principalities rage, though the powers rage. Let them stand up and say what they will. We will defeat every one of them by the power of God. We are more than able to do it. So here are these designated position rulers in the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of sin. So if they're ruling, who are they ruling over? So they're lords, they're IKs, they have dunamis, they have exousia, they are rulers, and I still ain't afraid. What about y'all? Y'all ready to take the tail between your legs like an old hand dog and head out of here? Shame on you. There is not an empire that has ever lasted as long in opposition as this kingdom of darkness. It has never been undermined and so unstable that it was on the rocks and about to collapse. Even though it is burst out of division. Now listen to this. In Victory Day, Brother Ben tells us, every spirit, every nation rather, has a spirit. And sometimes those spirits get jealous of one another and they cause wars. And you know this is going to be because this is the foundation of this kingdom. This kingdom was founded in jealousy. The kingdom of darkness was founded, is this true? It was founded in a church split, as we say. So you know what? If you're founded on a church split, it ain't very likely that you're going to turn your church into a peaceful thing. That's why I realize all this believe the sign stuff and all this stuff, friends, it's founded on lies. It's founded on a bunch of trash it ain't even worth talking about, really. And you know what? It will devour itself. They will be annihilated from within. Why? They are not founded upon the love of God, the Bible of God, the truth of God. Come on now. And that's why I do not fear about this message collapsing, because it's founded on the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's founded on God Himself that vindicated this man. So Paul lets out to the first church age, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers and wickedness and all this stuff. Then he tells the saints, and it's your job to destroy them. You gotta be kidding me. Be like the state of Tennessee taking on Russia. Come on, Russia. Those volunteers will knock your lights out. Yeah, right. Paul tells them why. He wants them to know what they're up against. He wants you and I to know we can't win this battle with this. Look in Luke chapter 22, verse 53. So, you agree with me tonight that this is a kingdom of darkness that Satan has founded. The Lord Jesus, the time has come. Now close for the crucifixion. Listen carefully now. The crucifixion of the Word was at hand. Darkness must be allowed to squeeze against the truth. I hope you understand where we are. Another crucifixion has taken place. Now notice Jesus said, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now here is the Son of God. You believe this is the Son of God? The Amorphe himself, Almighty God manifested in a human body, and yet Jesus looks around and said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Don't you understand where we are? Don't you understand why God lets a bunch of these blasphemers even live? It is their hour. It is the power of darkness that the true light must be assaulted one last time before the bride enters into a rapture. The Lord Jesus could not be crucified until the power had come to darkness. Don't you understand? You cannot take your rapture until the power of darkness so rises against you and presses you out of this world. This is the hour. That's the power of darkness, but so is it the hour for the bride. Notice these astounding words from the New Testament now about darkness. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, all things are made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So the light is shining, but the darkness cannot comprehend it. The darkness can't understand it. The darkness cannot figure it out. This message is not sent to turn our heads. It's sent to turn our hearts. Notice in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. This is why. Because their deeds were evil. They loved darkness rather than light. Now you're talking about the grace of God to move on your heart, because you and I was out there in darkness too. And our deeds were evil also. But we love light more than we loved our deeds. And you realize every mortal that lives upon the earth, whether they live in China, whether they live in Japan, wherever it is that they live, God will give them an opportunity to be able to accept light. It may not be but one time, but they will have that opportunity. They will be put on the same side of the angels, and they will make their choice. But billions of them will choose to stay where they are in darkness. They love their deeds. This is why God will be totally, totally justified by one day allowing the St. Andreas Fault to shake beneath the plates of California to such a place that one-tenth of the earth will fall in. Millions will die at one time. And the tidal waves will shoot plumb back to Arizona on the west and Kentucky on the east. How can a just God do such? How can a just God allow Russia to bomb this land of the free and the brave to such a place that when the prophet turns in the vision and he sees her in the vision, all he sees is smoldering heaps and ashes? How can God be just in doing so? Because men love darkness rather than light. You understand, there has never been such an annihilation in no continent on the earth. There has never been such an amount. Look at the days of Pompeii. Look at the different time. Nothing like this has ever been before. From the very nation that God sent forth a message in Malachi 4, she will be annihilated. But out of this nation will come an elect. St. John 3:20, and everyone that doeth evil hateth light. Everyone that doeth evil hateth light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. Isn't that strange? So they're already doing truth, but they come to more truth, more light, so that further deeds can be revealed. There's your elect, brother. There's your elect right there. That they are wrought in God. St. John 8 verse 12. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. The light of life. Again, St. John 12:35. But Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Can't you see where Laodicea is? They don't know what's right and wrong. They don't know if same-sex marriage is okay or not okay. Or they don't know if denominations is okay. They don't know why. Why? They're in total darkness. But thank God, in message churches in Goshen, there's still some light. Praise God. One of the last things to hit down the land of Egypt was what? When darkness had come upon the Egyptians, and the Bible said they sat there, they couldn't see one another. You imagine them sitting in their houses. They couldn't eat. They couldn't get up and go to the bathroom. These people were the most civilized in the world. They already had ability to make lights. They had ability to get around, but the darkness was so thick, it overpowered their man-made lights. And they couldn't tell no longer what was right and wrong. They couldn't move about their house. They couldn't see where to go. But at the same time that was going on, the children of Israel was going to church. They was raising their family. They was fixing meals, drinking water. Why? They had light. Amen. And both were present at the same time. St. John 12:46, I am come light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves. I wish some preachers could realize that. We're not called to preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine, notice, he didn't command the light to shine in the darkness, but he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Don't you understand your message in this day? He's done come and got us. The light's already come and got us. Now he's commanding us, let your light so shine before men. Now let the light shine out of the darkest age that's ever been. Notice chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't put your arms around them. Hey, buddy. Hey, pal. You know, we love everybody at our church. We don't speak against nobody. We don't hurt nobody's feelings. You need to shut your church down and turn it into a bar then. Might as well turn it into a nursery. It sounds like to me what you got anyway. Why don't you just name it a daycare? First Baptist daycare. Third Christian church daycare. That's what a lot of them turn into. They're turned into daycares. Come on. Tell me the truth. Ain't some in the house this right or not? Do they want a slaughterhouse? Do they want the church to be a butcher shop? To where the wrong is cut off of it. Amen. Do they want it to be a place of repentance? Oh, no. It's a daycare. Here's your new. Here's your diaper. Here's your bottle. Oh, God understands why you can't live right. The sermons are about why they can't live right. The songs are why they can't live right. Their testimonies are why they can't live right. Their Facebook postings are why they can't live right. But the real bride songs are why I've got to live right. The bride sermons are why I've got to live right. The bride Facebook postings ought to be why I'm a Christian. How I overcome. Why I overcome and why I will overcome. We ever lose the power of God in this hill, let's just turn it into a daycare, what do you say? Ain't no need mocking Peter and Paul and them and acting like this is a church. Let's just turn it into a nursery. I'll be the head nursemaid. If we're going to leave that sign down there, church, then let's make sure that's what we are. And if we ain't going to, let's change the sign and turn it into a babysitting place. Oh my. Watch this in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Paul said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath, not will, but hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm just waiting for my body to catch up with the translation my soul has already had. That's why I don't worry about not going in the rapture. My soul has done been translated. There ain't no way one part of me is going to heaven, the other part going to hell. There's a slight delay in between the time of the translation of my soul and the translation of my body, but I'm doing my best to bring my body in subjection to the word so my body can travel with my soul like a matter of light. Watch now. So in this kingdom of darkness, there's communication. There's dimensional travel. There's dimensional language. And there's rays of light or darkness that emanates from the souls and the beings of those people, reflecting and depending on which side they're on. Now, if you're a child of the devil, living for the devil, I may not see it, one another may not see it, but actually from your soul, from your being, emanates dark streaks. And if you're a Christian, from your soul emanates light. What's this? Brother Man said, here it is, a little woman sitting right back here this side. She's wearing a black hat, praying for someone, which is her brother. This brother is an alcoholic. That's right, isn't he, lady? Way back, got the little black hat on. Yes, sir, he has to take sleeping pills to sleep at night. That's right. And another thing, he was a Christian once, and he's backslid because I see a cigarette. I see him going to the honky-tonk. He's got a television in his house. I see a dark shadow over the man. Now watch, in the fourth dimension where the prophet is looking and peering into that realm, he sees this woman's request. He sees what's on her heart. And he sees this man, which is now developing into the vision. And he's able to tell, don't see this man going to church, paying his tithes or none of that. But what tells him is a dead giveaway is where the light or darkness is pulsating from his soul. Not from his body now, but from his soul. That's right. Now, do you believe, he said, you believe God will answer your prayer? May granted is my sincere desire. I don't know you, do I, lady? I don't know you, do I? Never seen you in my life. Is that right? Shake your hand this way. Was everything of that the truth? There you are. Now believe. Now this woman had every opportunity to exploit this false prophet if he was one. But it seems a bunch of devils that's coming after these things that done been proven, and they want to say he wasn't. Why didn't she stand up and say he wasn't? Well, go ahead, pray, saints. Say amen or ouch or amen or get out or whatever, but at least take sides. Take sides. Watch this now. Y'all see the lady trying to move off of something. Now watch this. It's a chair. She tries to get up and she sets back down. She gets up again. She's in a room. It's a little chair like an arm on it, like a rocker. She's trying to move out of that place. She's going towards a window. She's holding her back. It's arthritis of the spine. It's in her back. That's exactly right. You're wanting prayer for someone else too. That's your daughter. You believe God can reveal to me what's wrong with your daughter? She's having migraine headaches. That's thus saith the Lord. There's something still pondering in your heart. It's a prayer for someone else too. That's your son. There's a dark shadow over him. You're praying for the salvation of his soul. He's a sinner. And you mean to tell me a false prophet can do this? A false prophet can do more than true prophets can? Come on, church. Do you believe? If you believe, you know something's speaking. That isn't me, lady. You heard my voice now. That feeling that was on you just a few moments ago has lifted, hasn't it? Between you and I stood the light, that angel. It's gone from you now. Oh, hallelujah to God. Notice now, here was both powers. Now listen, the prophet of God said the angel that came to him was a minor angel. But he was an angel of light. So here are these people and their darknesses of their body, or the darknesses of their soul in the fourth dimension, they are projecting streaks or rays of darkness. Now sometimes it could be a Christian where the darkness come from a demon anointing their body. And some of them was because they were sinners. But now standing between him and that woman is the angel, and it turns light. Now the reason Brother Branham knew that these people were delivered wasn't because they shouted off the platform and run and had a big spell. The way he always knew they were delivered, it changed from darkness to light. Amen. That's the way you know we're delivered today, brother. We turn from darkness to light. And we don't just turn on one thing. Well, Jesus, I accept Jesus as the Son of God. That ain't good enough. You gotta keep on turning and turning and turning and turning until you become more light, more light, more light, more light, and the darkness dissipates totally away from you. Can I go on a bit? Notice this. Do you believe, lady? Are we strangers to each other? We are. I want you to think of these tens of thousands of witnesses that will stand at the day of judgment and condemn these blasphemers that have left this message. When these people will stand there, and I was showing Carol last night, T.L. Osborne on YouTube, T.L. Osborne describing going to Brother Branham's meeting. And he said, oh, I know you've heard all kinds of things about T.L. Osborne here, about Brother Branham. He said, but just forget all that. His wife went the first night and come back in. He wouldn't go. Come back in telling him the things that happened. T.L. Osborne said, I went there and I saw Jesus in that little man. I saw Jesus in that little man. And he would speak, and she tells and said, the first thing I saw was a humpback man. And said, he come up, and Brother Branham didn't scream. He didn't holler. He spoke to that. And the hump went out of that man's back, and he stood upright. This man did not believe the message. He did not accept the message. And yet his report of Brother Branham is so different than these blasphemers today. And these were people that was around Brother Branham. Why didn't they say the same thing? It shows how the devil has deceived this final bunch. They're so deceived. Even Brother Branham's enemies didn't say about him what they're saying today. They're so deceived. Can you tell them? No. Will they turn around? No. My brother Donnie, I'm still waiting to prove that 16 men, are you? Well, give me your email address. I'll send you a letter that we just got from a lawyer out of Jeffersonville. Church of Christ, whose father was the mayor of Jeffersonville, and tells a testimony of the men falling into the concrete when the bridge was being poured. This man ain't a message pastor. He ain't a message preacher. He said Brother Branham would come time after time after time to his daddy's motel. When his daddy quit being a mayor, he had a motel. And he said, but Brother Billy would come and heal the people. But friends, it makes no difference what you prove. Many of these things can be proven. Believers don't need it proven know-how. And it won't make no difference to unbelievers. They've got to walk in darkness. This word has to be crucified before your rapture. This word has to be crucified before you go home. You believe, lady, are we strangers? If the Lord Jesus will do between you and I as a brother and sister like God did for the woman at the well, you'll accept and believe it? That's an awful headache, isn't it? Sinuitis makes an awful headache. That's what you have, sinuitis trouble. See you holding your head like that many times up above in your eyes and things. It's very bad. Tried everything. Nothing works. But you are believing that you'll be healed. Here's another thing that you might know, that I'll be God's servant. You want prayer for somebody else, and that's your son. You believe that God will tell me what's wrong with your son? It's going to take every bit of the shadow away from you. He's got trouble with his back. He's got trouble with his head. Another thing you're praying for is for his salvation of his soul. He's got a dark shadow over him. And he's shouted for death. He's a sinner. That's thus saith the Lord. There's not in the way in the world for me to know that's outside of God. Is that right? Is that right? You believe that? Raise your hand. Notice another witness. Go find it the way you believed, and it'll just be that way. God bless you. God bless you, sister. I just want to touch your hand. Don't doubt. Have faith. What's this? Yes, sister, you with the black gloves on in your hands. Raise up. Look this way. If I don't quote to you your prayer that you were praying that I heard in another dimension, another world. Amen. Tell you what you were praying about. Will you believe Jesus heard you? And this is his anointing who hears prayers, Christ. You're praying for a bladder condition, and you're praying for a colon condition, and asking God to have me to speak to you. Is that right? If it is, I want you to stand up to your feet just a minute and let the people will know. Turn around to the audience. Do you believe? Don't fear, sister. You're going to be well. Why do I say that? It turns white. A light around you. First, it was a dark shadow. Now, notice this. Then that light come down and you accepted it. Lord Jesus, that light come down and you accepted it. Brother, sister, don't you understand that light could have come down between her and the prophet of God. If she hadn't have accepted it, she'd walked right away sick and maybe died. It's not enough that he comes among us. We've got to accept him. That same angel that was over there, it went away. Now go believing. Listen to this. Don't doubt. Because he will try to come back. And the last estate will be seven times worse. But you believe what you're told. If he knows what your past was, surely he knows what your future will be. Thank you, Lord. And look, another thing. That deep walk with God that you're seeking. That's right, it's true. You're going to receive that now. I'm not reading your mind. I'm just telling you what your desire is. And what your prayer is. And he believes it. You believe that same Lord God is right here tonight to give you your desire? Oh, sure, the prophet ain't here to do all that, but he's just as mindful of our desires tonight too. Let me close with this. What's this? You come from a place where there's a lot of prairie country. It was an airplane. An airplane comes up from leaving a prairie country in the back. Now watch him. He's actually watching the plane take off. Surely a man that can see backwards in time and see where a plane come from can be able to tell me where I'm going. If God would show him enough about that, Lord have mercy. You're leaving from a prairie country in the back, and it's a city that's on a prairie, and you come through immigration. You're from Canada. I'd say Regina. Yeah. Glory. Is that right? And your plane come down. Now God lets him see the plane taking off in the city of Regina. And then he sees the plane landing several hours later. Glory to God. Sitting on each side of a river. I'd say it was Cincinnati. Or something on that order. But then you come here in an automobile. And it was at night time. The lights. You see what he's seeing? He's seeing the lights at night and they're riding in an automobile. You got mixed up somewhere. Your trouble is, oh, you're with friends. I see that. You're rejoicing with someone. You've been operated on. You've had two operations, and the operation was in the bosom or the breast. And it's cancer. Is that true? Then I see it turning dark, lady. It must be you're not going to. Now watch. He thinks she's not going to live. It must be you're not going to live, perhaps. No. No, here's what it is. You're in need of Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me a sinner could walk up on the platform and have enough faith and the gift of God to touch God into a channel that God would revert back in time and show her where she'd come from by an airplane in the city she landed in and an automobile, a sinner? Oh, children. You're not a Christian. You're You need Christ. Is that right? Why not take him and live? Is that true? You accept him as your Savior now, right now? Forsake all sin. God lets you live. You're going to live for him the rest of your days. Come. Brother, in praise, quite a lengthy prayer. Let me go after this prayer. After he finishes praying. Look what he calls her. My sister. How fast can God save a soul? She walks up a sinner, lost, darkness emanating from her soul. A prayer is made, and now a new title must be placed on her. Quite an honor to be called the sister of Elijah, don't you think? My sister, you're returning a different person. You're a Christian now. Your sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. With all my heart, I believe you'll live. For it's light. Real light around you now. Where I'm standing, I believe you're going to be all right. You feel that too, don't you? Yes, ma'am. You're a Christian. Living for Christ now. God bless you. God bless you. Let me read just one more. I'll close. Your conscience, you're in the presence of something besides your brother. A feeling of knowing that there's something near you. You are a Christian. I see that you're a Christian. It's turning real light around you. That means your spirit is welcoming me. You're not a critic. I wonder how many people on these websites and these churches and this, that, and others, Bryce and the prophet of God and making YouTube. I wonder what if they'd come around and he'd see darkness. He'd see demons of hate, demons, all kinds of things, and say, you're a critic. You've got this, you've got that. Oh, I guarantee one thing. If he's still here today and this gift worked, I wonder how many of them open their blabber mouth to him then. How many would stand up in the service and call him this and that and the other. They might pack him out of here dead. Don't you see, children, every one of us here tonight, every person that lives on the face of the earth is projecting something from our soul. We're either from the kingdom of God, which is light, or the kingdom of darkness, which is from Satan. We're under the dominion of Michael or Lucifer. Those princes are projecting their nature and the inhabitants on the earth. The prophet tells us there's three realms below us and three realms that are above us. And he said the mortals are right here in the stream of tide. Every one of us are caught in this prison, as it were. And those three realms below us try to influence us. And the three realms above us try to influence. It's by your choice which one you'll let affect you and I.
What's that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I so appreciate his truth, don't you? So tell me, why would God allow man to be so gifted to do this tens of thousands of times around the world to deceive his children? God would send a man like this to the earth and give him all these gifts and let him maintain them from the time he was born till the time that he left this earth. So he could deceive you, sincere, honest people. He's not the deceiver. There are some about, but it's not this man here. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? For years and years, we've preached and talked about it. It's coming falling away. They're coming a falling away. Boy, we're the World Council of Churches and this and that and the other. I wonder if it's not Judas. I wonder if our Judas is not going to be the one. Isn't it amazing? The very message. I don't know if you've been realizing it or not. This church, with many others, was responsible many years ago for bringing the message on the software. Some of you even worked on it. This church spent tens of thousands of dollars to get it ready to be put out around the world. And the very thing that has transformed preachers' life and the way they preach the message. And now that very same software is being used by people to try to discredit Brother Branham, discredit preachers, discredit you for what you believe. The very same thing. Who do you figure knew the secret place where Jesus was? There's been websites against this message for years and years. But there ain't nobody that knows about the message like somebody that sat under it. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Who was it? Who was it? Ephesus that led them to the Garden of Gethsemane? Or was it not Judas? Why? Judas knew the plan. Judas knew the mannerism. Judas knew where Jesus prayed. Judas know where straight to go to take them to him. Don't you understand? They know where to go, straight to go to isolate quotes. And they say, Brother Branham said a woman wasn't even fit for a good bullet to kill her with. But that's only one thing Brother Branham said about a woman. He also said if God couldn't give a man nothing better than salvation than a godly wife. But of course, Judas don't say those quotes, does he? Oh, children, run to light. Run to light. Let this light so consume our beings and our souls that darkness falls. Oh, my. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, as we stand here tonight in this place, I want to say I thank you for your truth. I've said it many times since I've been in the message, but I want to reiterate it again. I know some of these spies stream our services so they can make more videos about us. That's all right. If they take 30 minutes and talk about me, that means 30 minutes or leaving Brother Branham alone. So let them stream. Let them do whatever. But I want them. I want demons. I want you. And I want angels to know, I still believe this message with all of my soul. And I'll die for it if need be. I remember, Lord, me and Harry and Chuck, we started looking at it, dear God. We saw miracles in Pentecost. We saw signs and wonders. That wasn't what got our attention. It was something about the voice, the message that was being spoke. We saw the arrogance of Pentecostal preachers. We saw money. We saw the politics. We saw all that. That wasn't what got our attention. It was something about the character of this man and the humility of this man. Lord, that's one thing that just so breaks our heart when we see his character attacked. We know it has to be, Lord. And we don't want to handle it in the flesh either, because we know that won't do any good. We can't fight this warfare with our flesh against their flesh. We need your wisdom. Dear God, how can me as a poor mortal ever meet these demons? These beings that at one time stood in the presence of God and screamed, Hallelujah. And they were created perfect. How could me as a mortal, these children, these saints of God, how could we ever meet these beings? When Gabriel could not move through a power of darkness, how can we? Heavenly Father, we need your help. It's amazing, Lord, for we know it carried right over whenever Moses died. And the angel come down disputing over the body of Moses. And whenever Satan was standing there, and that angel recognized still Lucifer's authority. And he didn't say, I rebuke you. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. He still recognized his hierarchy. The Lord God then will remind him of what your prophet said. The word of God, The weakest Christian can take the word of God and defeat Satan anywhere, anytime, under any conditions. Lord, thank you, Father. So, Lord, we have been given an authority which Wormwood, which Gabriel was not given. Lord, help us to believe it. They believe their position. They have for thousands of years. They still maintain that they were made for this. Help us, Lord, to stand in our position and say, through the church, you will display your manifold grace. We know that word manifold is variegated, which means diversity of colors. Hallelujah. Not through Gabriel, not through Wormwood, but through weak, fleshly human beings that have been regenerated. You'll prove to Satan your power was greater. Amen. And the church said,
amen.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
With all your heart.
Amen.
Do you actually believe greater is he that is in you?
Yes,
than what we've talked about here tonight.
Yes,
is he more than able?
Praise
God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do we believe him tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hebrews 13:8 don't say Brother Branham is the same or Paul is the same. But Jesus is the same. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You believe that great healer is right here among us tonight? That great deliverer? Hallelujah. Whatever you have need of tonight, why don't you just reach out to Him? Just raise your hand in His presence. I'm no prophet, and the rest of these brothers here are, to have a gift to be able to discern you and all that. If that's what we needed for this day, God would have left that here among us. But God wants us to be able to take His word. Remember, the Gentile way of believing is speak the word. Speak the word and my servant will be healed. Whatever you need. Healing in your body. Your children bound. You don't know how to raise them anymore. You don't know what to do. Whatever you've got need of. Maybe there's a darkness around your family. A darkness around your home. Your body. May the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's right here in our midst tonight. May He pass your way. Oh, we believe in the emotion. Yes, thank God, the screaming and the shouting and all that. But don't miss your healing by trying to look for a feeling. Let your faith reach out to Him. If that sinner woman could be able to tap into the gift of God and pull on that gift, the prophet could see where she come from, how she got there, moving from a plane to an automobile, flying into Cincinnati, and her not even saved. What about you Christians tonight? Can't you reach out and touch the hem of the Lord Jesus' garment as He's passing this way? Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, as Bartimaeus sat there that cold October morning, and he noticed something was different that day. The crowd wasn't there. And he began to hear that Jesus was down the road. And he thought, oh, I've missed it. It's too late. But he screamed out, oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The prophet said you couldn't have heard him because there's so many people around you. But it was his faith cry. Sort of like that man over in the Gadarenes. His soul was in bondage. His body was in bondage. But the prophet said his soul was crying out. And your ears are so in tune with the soul cry. You heard him plumb across the lake on the other side. He might not even had enough sanity to call your name, but his soul was calling out to you, Lord God. We're standing here tonight clothed in our right mind and have the message of the hour. So we're taught your ways and taught your truth. So Lord Jesus,
We're calling out upon you tonight, Lord. Come by our way, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him, saints.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs He will supply. If you reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by, reach out and touch the Lord as He
believe what you're saying. He's passing by this moment.
Your need He will supply. If you just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He find He's not too busy. He can hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your need He will supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy.
Jesus,
He can hear,
your heart's cry. He's passing by.
The Lord as He goes by. and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Oh yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, to hear your heart's cry, He's passing by. Everybody, let's sing it together again. Let's just worship Him now.
Reach out
and touch your Lord as He goes by. You'll find Jesus not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Thank you, dear God. Dear God, we worship You, Lord Jesus. Amen, Father. We so appreciate Your grace, Lord. And touch the Lord as He goes by.
Before we go, I'd like for us to pray for Brother Tim Burdett. 6-8 weeks ago, something like that, Brother Tim fell down a stairway or a staircase. And hurt his shoulder really, really bad. And he's been waiting and waiting and finally had surgery. And the doctor told him, actually, he should have had surgery probably 6 weeks ago. He called me on Tuesday, I think it was. And he had the surgery. Was it Thursday, Brother Randy, that he had the surgery? And the way the doctor explained it to him, that where those places were tore tendons or muscles or whatever it was, they had kind of drawn apart like a rubber band. And he was going to have to stretch them and try to mend it all. And Brother Darrell told me last night here at Brother Benton's honoring that we had for him, that he was in tremendous amount of pain. Let's just take our brother before the Lord, if you would, tonight. Heavenly Father, we want to call the name of our brother Tim Burdett to You tonight, Lord. Oh, Jesus, You see the need in our brother's body. You didn't promise us these things wouldn't happen to us as Your children. You didn't say we'd be free or exempt from them, but You promised us You'd be with us. Lord, we're grateful that man can be able to do these surgeries and be able to make these amends, but the prophet has already told us they can operate, but they can't heal us. Lord Jesus, we want to bring Him before You tonight, dear God. Oh, that You'd just touch Him. Heavenly Father, I ask that the presence of God, He may be even streaming the service right now, but Lord Jesus, we just bring our brother before You. We ask that the presence of God would come where he is. Heal him, Lord. Bring healing to our brother's body. May there be no evil that will come of this, Father. I pray. The doctor told him he felt like that he'd regained the momentum and the movement and all that in his shoulder. Lord, they're trying to remodel the church. The church building's pushed apart. And he told me the other day it was just a miracle that it hadn't collapsed. Once they got in there looking at it, Lord, that it was coming apart. Oh, God, I pray that You just heal him, Father. Just bring our brother back, dear God, to a complete place of healing and restore him, we ask, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said, how many is glad you're of the kingdom of light tonight? For you who were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Not you were in darkness, but ye were darkness. And not ye are in the light, but ye are light. Praise be to God. Let's sing it together as we go. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Service in the morning, 11 o'clock. Go in the fear of God. I love it all my heart. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise His. Everybody. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me, Counselor, Prince of Peace. Thank You, Lord. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. God bless you, saints. One, the fear of God. Whoa.